This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it.
iRadio. Actor and writer Ali Hardman is bringing her brand new short film, That's So Fish, to this year's Galway Film Flap. Ali not only wrote the film, but also stars in it as Gemma, a woman whose perfectly planned life is turned upside down when her fiancé leaves her. In an attempt to rebuild herself, she finds herself back in the world of Irish dancing, where she's reminded that sometimes the people with the biggest lessons to teach us are the youngest. First of all, Ali, welcome to the show and congratulations. A massive, massive moment for you. Really, really exciting. You're not only starring in That's So Fish, but having written it as well is amazing. How does it feel to see something that started as an idea in your head make its debut at the Galway Film Flap?
Yeah, it's so mad. Well, you know, the producers from Yes Perfect, Aisling and Eliza, we had a meeting like 2 years ago about something else entirely, and we just got on so well, and we were, you know, following up afterwards and stuff. And at one point they were like, what if we made a short together, you know, applied to the film boards for some funding and made a short. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, that's a great idea. And so I have to give them credit. The Irish dancing angle was them. They were like, we really want to do something about Irish dancing. So we kind of talked a few different ideas through, and then came up with looking at it from like kind of a redemption lens, like someone who's going through a breakup and tries to revisit something from her childhood, because none of us had done it like since we were like 7 or 8 or whatever. And so we went through loads of drafts, and then we were like looking at lots of different funding options, to be honest. Like, we were going to, there was a few different like regional funding opportunities. I don't know, any writers and stuff listening will know, like, yeah, you know, when you're screenwriting, you know about all the funding going on. So then we put it into the film board. And yeah, we got focused short funding, which is great. It's like, I think we got 60 grand to make it, which is doesn't sound like much, obviously, if you're making a full scale feature. But for short, it's like you can actually pay people a proper, you know, the industry standard wage. And, you know, then they really support you in promoting it and stuff. So, but there's no guarantee that we would like get into Galway or anything like that. And I've been to Galway loads over the years. I've acted in stuff that's premiered down there, but I've never had anything that I wrote play down there, we're premiering down there. So yeah, it's mad. Like, I was like, when I knew that the decisions were coming out, people were saying, oh, they're probably going to come out around this week. I was glued to my phone. So I was thrilled.
I am delighted for you. And as I just said to you there before we started chatting, I did Irish dancing until I was 15. So it's so nice to see like this whole story about someone as an adult revisiting it. And tell us a little bit about the story for people that are going to hear about it for the first time this evening.
Yes.
Gemma's life, it's unraveled. And she's seeking comfort through the world of Irish dancing. Is that
exactly? So at the very start of the film, her fiance breaks up with her. That's not a spoiler, that's like the whole premise. He leaves her in the first scene, and she basically decides, it's when you see the film, there's something that they kind of bring up Irish dancing in the conversation, and he talks about how she quit it when she was younger and how she never has any fun and she never wants to do anything. And then one day when she's having a meltdown, she finds her Irish dancing shoes from when she was a child. So she decides to go back to Irish dancing, to sort of revisit something in herself, but also to prove something to him that, like, she, you know, she can do it. She didn't just quit when she was 7 and never go back. So yeah, and then, but then in doing that, she finds herself. She makes new friends, and she befriends these teenage girls in her class, because like all the kids in her class are like 15, 16, and they're all like, you know, she expects them to all think it's so weird what she's doing, but two of them just take a real shining to her and realize what she's going through and feel really sorry for her. And then as the film goes on, she like basically starts kind of acting and talking like she's 15 years old. So her friends stage an intervention.
That sounds like
probably
something.
Probably give the whole plot away, but anyway.
No, you have given, I think, just enough to get people excited about seeing sure. I mean, Irish dancing, it's such a good angle because it's something I think everybody can connect to in some way, even if they didn't do it themselves. They all know people who spent all weekends, you know, at competitions. In regards to Gemma, the character herself, obviously you portray Gemma.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's parts of you in her character?
Yeah, definitely. She's a very type A, wound up individual. Particularly at the start, like, and I would definitely describe myself as type A. I don't know if anyone has ever seen the film Election. Have you seen Election, Valerie?
I haven't, no.
Reese Witherspoon, it's from the early 2000s. Anyway, she plays this character called Tracy Flick, who's like really uptight and like, I mean, I'm not saying I'm like Tracy Flick, but like when I saw that film, I was like, I could play a character like that. Very just like driven and, you know, spreadsheet queen. But basically her whole life is too rigid. Like, and I do think that's something that I've probably experienced. Like I've had to learn to let go of control on things, particularly in filmmaking and stuff. Like, it has to be a team effort. You have to trust other people and you can't just control everything. And like, I have one or two projects that I'm co-writing at the moment with other writers, and I've had to say to them, like, you need to tell me when I'm being overbearing, because I tend to just go, I'll do it, you know, because I want to feel in control all the time. And that's definitely what Gemma feels. And then, you know, everything goes out of her control, which when her fiance leaves her and she feels like completely powerless. So it's about her sort of learning to embrace life and, like, you know, able to handle the things that, like, you don't expect to happen, you know,
like go with the flow in a time.
In a time that
for Gemma is going to be really challenging.
Yeah.
You know, obviously,
which I'm not good at doing. I'm not a go with the flower. Like my fiance is like the most laid back person ever. People are always like, you're honestly two polar opposites. Well, I think that's why it works. He's just like, I don't think he's ever had an anxious thought a day in his life, and I'm like, wow, it must be nice because I'm always worrying about something.
No, I second that. I completely relate to that, but I think a lot of people will. So that's what's going to be powerful about this as well. I know you've worked as an actor for years yourself. Most recently, yeah, we've noticed you in the Done Deal ad on telly, which I think is absolutely hilarious. But now that you are obviously also being actors and an actor in things, but also writing things, does it give you like a real appreciation on how things really do come together as like a group initiative?
Oh my God, yeah. And like, actually in casting the film, I sat in on the casting the teenagers. So we did a day of casting in Dublin with Maureen Hughes, who's casting director. And that was amazing to sit in. I'd never sat in on a room like that. And I was just being the reader. And I was like, oh my God, it really does go to show, like, when the girls came in, when Ruby and Lily Mae came in, we were just like, oh my God, that's them. It's like these girls we've had in our head for the last couple of months. And like, I guess just like makes you realize, like, auditioning and stuff like that, like, people just have such a clear vision in their head of what it is. And, you know, all the actresses we met that day were amazing. Like, everyone was so good. But it's just such a weird thing when you see someone, you're like, oh my God, that's the thing I had in my head. I wouldn't even be able to describe it properly. It's just when you see it, you're like, that's it. So that was really interesting. And yeah, just like how much love and like care goes into every tiny detail. Like, I found it so weird, like on the first day, like, which is so stupid. And I was doing a TV series that summer called These Sacred Vows that was on RT, and I remember asking the writer director John Butler, I was like, do you find it so weird when you like write in the script? Because I find this so weird, like, she picks up her notebook and then you arrive on set and someone has picked out the notebook that you wrote that you like didn't give too much thought to, but they've put loads of thought, and they arrive with like four different notebooks and they're like, which one do you want? And you're like, oh my God, I didn't think about this that much. Those sort of things are really amazing. And so, yeah, it was just like, I guess I feel like I have a much clearer like sense of the amount of, also like the amount of people. Like, my dad came down, we were in a panic because there was something wrong with a mirror. I actually can't remember why. And we were shooting like not far away from my parents' house. And I was like, oh my God, my parents will have a mirror. My parents will have, so I rang my dad and I was like, Dad, is there any way you, I mean, I sound like just spoiled brat. I was like, Daddy, can you come down? But I was like, please, do you have a mirror that you could bring down? And he was like, yeah. So he came down. And he was like, oh my God. There was like 80 of us on set. You know, he was like, I thought you were making a short. And I was like, yeah. He was like, oh my God, there's so many people. I was like, yeah, but this is we have a full scale crew. Like, this is what you know,
this is what happens. This
what
is
we pay this for. Yeah.
This is art.
I didn't realize it was like this.
He's like, I didn't realize it was that deep. I didn't realize this was.
Yeah, I think he just thought like it was just a couple of us had kind of gotten together and were making a short film, because I've made so many like bits over the years like that. Yeah. But it was just so funny that he was just like, oh, what is going on down here? And I was like, very, you know, I was saying this to, actually to the producers of the day. I was like, I don't think I ever told them this story that like, I remember sitting in the makeup chair and being like really conscious of time. I was like, oh my God, like we only have, you know, we have 4 minutes left for makeup or whatever. And the makeup artist was like, she probably thought I was being so weird, because she's like, why is this random actress so paranoid about like what time she's going to get to set at? And then the next day she was like, I didn't realize you wrote it. And I was like, she was like, I was thinking you were being so weird, because like I cared so much about like the day running on time. Whereas like, if you're just a jobbing actor on a set, like that's none of your business. You know, you come, you like, you know, you move from
you show up,
makeup
you do
to
your
costume.
Thing.
Yeah. Whereas I was like, you know, this is, I'm so worried about each department
what
being
was,
okay.
What was it like wearing the two hats, being the writer and the lead actor?
I was actually saying this the other day. I had a chat with the director like a few weeks before, and she said to me like, and I knew this because I'd written a lot of my own plays back, like the last one we staged was like 6 years ago maybe. And I do feel like I brought the writer on stage with me too much. So I was kind of like, not concerned, but I was like, how am I going to navigate this now on a film set? And she said to me, which is exactly what I needed to hear. She was like, you've written the script. You've done the work. We've gone through so many drafts. You know, the Screen Ireland executives have read it. They've given us notes. Like, the script is done. You need to come to me now as an actor and be ready to like have fun and just act and not think about like this line or that line. And that really relaxed me. And I was like, now I'm not saying I wasn't wound up still on set, but I felt very comfortable in that. Like I knew she, like she had my back, you yeah. know, and she was just like, I've got this. Like, and we're really good friends now. And I was like, okay. And I also loved the script supervisor was such a fabulous girl as well. Jen, so I really felt like,
you were in good hands.
Yeah, I felt like, and just watching Eileen, our director, from like literally the moment go, like she arrived on set with like so many notes and so many like, you know, backstory thoughts for characters and stuff. And I was like, it was just like a really nice moment to be able to relax. So I was obviously always kind of on edge because I just wanted everything to go really well, but I wasn't worried about, you know, how the writing was going to be portrayed.
Are you going to be on edge with excitement when it debuts at the Galway Film Lab? Like, how like, special is that?
It's amazing. Like no one has seen it. I haven't been with anyone who's seen it except for my fiance. My brother actually wrote the music in the film. The music's amazing. Actually, lots of people who've seen it have mentioned the music. Sam Hardyman is his name. So he's watched it and I've watched it. We haven't watched it together. And so obviously I'll be with him. My parents are coming. So yeah, it's going
to
be really.
They're coming to see the mirror specifically. The mirror know, from their like, own home house in on the big screen.
Yeah, they're going to see the big mirror. Actually, they'll probably see a lot of things and be like, "That's from the living room." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, we just borrowed it." I think yeah, like I'm so nervous. Like with a comedy, Callie, I don't know if you've ever had this. Like, I mean, I think acting in theater in comedy plays made me kind of good for this, but like. It's just like being nervous that the audience, if they're going to laugh, like if they don't laugh, you kind of can take the temperature of an audience, how they're going to receive something in the theater. I'm sure any theater actor would say this. You can feel it when they come in, if they're going to like the show or not. It's just this weird like sense you have. So I don't know what that's going to be like sitting in a cinema. Never sat in a cinema with people watching my writing. So I just hope they find it funny, because if they don't laugh, it's going to be the worst 15 minutes of my life.
I'm sure people are going to laugh.
I'm sure they'll laugh at Peter McGann. He's very funny. So hopefully.
Before I let you go, Ali, tell me if people want to see That So Fesh, where and when can they catch it?
So basically, it's premiering at 11 a.m. on the 11th of July in the Town Hall Theatre in Galway as part of the Screen Ireland Showcase. But hopefully we're going to be premiering in or, you know, screening in festivals around the world is the hope. But if people want to follow me, Ali Hardiman, on Instagram, or the girls production company, Yes Perfect Productions, we announce everything on there about where we're playing next. And then, like, in the coming years, it'll be available online, but not until we have done all the festivals that we want to do. So yeah, so if you can't get to a festival, you can hang on tight and it'll be online at some point.
Ali, thank you so much for taking time out to chat to me on the show. I really appreciate it, and best of luck with that so far.
Thank you.
This is iRadio's Group Chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.